Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. There was an episode last week. There is also an episode this week. There is one more next week. And then we're off for 2 weeks, I believe it is. In the meantime, you're off to Spa.
I am going to Spa next Thursday, yep.
Is it literally like next week? Mm. Oh, impressive. That's the same day that I go to Canada. You might be wondering why I sound a bit odd. It's because I've just been away watching the football. That's not why I went away. We booked the holiday before and then realised we're away for the Euro finals. Obviously, it was on Sunday. This is currently Tuesday. Got back yesterday after a very long flight. I won't go into it, but my one piece of advice to anyone is do not fly with Wizz Air. They are the bottom of the fucking barrel of airlines.
Was this the one you booked when I was here a few weeks ago? Because you were about to go on a race and you were discussing with one of your mates and you were discussing Wizz Air. Was that for this one or have you booked another holiday with Wizz Air as well?
No.
Oh, so it was this one.
Yeah, no. I will never be flying Wizz Air again. I will pay the premium for any airline to not fly Wizz Air.
You ever flown with Ryanair?
They are shite as well.
Are they? Never done it. But
they are horrendous. I'd probably argue Wizz Air are worse based off our experience.
Is it because Ryanair have got a good Twitter?
They do, but they are still pretty shocking, to be honest. But obviously, there was a lot of shouting taking place on Sunday. It's not from alcohol. I didn't actually drink that much. And now I just can't really talk properly. So, we won't talk about any football, primarily because this is a Formula One podcast, but secondarily, because if you are English, it is not the result that we wanted. However, as Brits, we do have hope this weekend. We are heading into Hungary.
Well, I think going back on that, last week was a decent week.
Oh, it was like the perfect weekend.
You started off on a Sunday, okay, the day before the week. Well, you started off on a Sunday, Lewis Hamilton win, okay? Hmm. Perfect. Then the Wednesday comes along.
I mean, you think you can start from the Friday?
Yeah.
Or the Saturday. We had the football on the Saturday.
Football on a Saturday.
Then we had Lewis win on the Sunday.
Then we had football again on the Wednesday to get us through to the final.
The Thursday. Was it Wednesday? I don't know.
I think it was Wednesday.
One of those days, yeah.
And then, yeah, went through to the final. Look, I know there's a lot of disappointed people, and I am one of them. However, the fact that actually in the last 4 years, we've been to two finals. 4 years? Yeah, 4 years. Wins two finals. I take that. In our lifetime, we've never witnessed a final. Well,
it's not bad. It's not bad.
But anyway, this isn't a football podcast.
This isn't. But yeah, it's been a good run. And you know, much like everything, things come to an end. Droughts come to an end. Lewis Hamilton proved that last weekend. England will one day prove the droughts come to an end. But I'm feeling two Lewis wins in a row.
I can't argue with it.
I actually can't argue with it.
Before we talk about this, can I talk about quite an achievement for me?
Yeah, you're going to talk about your half marathon.
Last weekend just gone, I ran my first ever half marathon. And I know for a lot of people, they would go, yeah, and? Yeah, I do that all the time. For me, I'm bloody proud of that. You run anyway. You're like quite, you look at it and go, yeah, it could be better. Yeah.
Half marathon's a long way. I've not run a half marathon.
So I was actually quite happy with myself. So I'm putting it out there on the podcast. I felt like I achieved something.
Did you take sweets with you and stuff?
I took the gels.
Oh, yeah.
They were good. Super drug. Lucozade orange ones. Very good.
I take like Haribo's on a long run.
Do you?
Yeah, because like the eating distracts me, so I quite like it.
I don't actually
like those gels.
No, but that's why I tried the Lucozade one, because I actually thought they were actually quite nice. I've tried some others and they weren't very good.
Something like a bit milky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the Lucozade ones are spot on. They're really good.
Fair enough.
Really good.
I recommend Haribo. Just give it a go. You know, just
don't get indigestion with that.
No.
I suppose they're small, aren't they? So
yeah. Just like a little bag of Haribos.
Yeah. You said a whole Tangfastics while you're.
Yeah, no, not like a big share bag.
Look at that guy just running, eating a whole share bag.
Well, I haven't run all weekend. But really? I did do a lot of walking. I can bang in about 20k steps a day.
Really?
Yeah.
I could barely walk after on Sunday.
Yeah, no, it does have that effect. I've run like 18k before and I was fucked. I had like 3 naps in that day.
Do you know what I liked about it the most? And I know people have tuned in for F1 podcast, but this is an achievement for me. There's not many achievements I get on this podcast. And Luke will vouch for that.
Which reminds me of something else we need to talk about after this. It is relating to the podcast, so don't worry.
Okay. It was the mental side I got over, which I was really quite happy with. So when I got to 16K, I was struggling. And normally in those type of things, I'd be like, nah, done. Like when I was trying to do the 5Ks at the beginning. So 2 months ago, I started running. I was like, nah, I can't do anymore. But I kept pushing myself, which I quite liked, which I never really had that mentality to do. Normally I'd just be like, oh, it's fine, I'll give up. But kept pushing. Ran all the way to New Haven, back from one end to Seaford. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. What's your thing?
Well, speaking of ups, I'm going to talk about downs.
Okay.
Did you get any stick for last episode?
No.
No one DM'd you? Someone DM'd me about you.
Really?
Basically saying you've had a stinker.
Okay, yeah. Like, I'll be honest, that was an episode. Last week I left going, God, you've pissed me off. I was annoyed last week when I left.
When really you pissed yourself
off. I pissed myself off. Anyway, I listened to the episode back.
It was probably quite entertaining. I mean, look, what would be so boring is if we both sat down and just agreed with each other the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? I still stand by my point because in my head it makes sense. But I can understand why people don't understand it. But yeah, we move. It's a new week.
We do, yeah.
It's race week.
It is race week, which is always nice.
Love a race week.
We're obviously heading off to Budapest, which is a track not necessarily renowned for its overtaking.
No, it is renowned for its bowling.
Yep. Bottas made that famous. We've had a few good battles over the year. There's obviously... Lewis got a pole there last season into turn one. I think he came out of that in fourth position.
Do you know what? Last year, we were so hyped after that.
I know. It was like the quickest like reality check.
We thought, this is it. Mercedes are back. And then all of a sudden, we were like, yeah, like you say, turn one. Okay, no, reality setting.
But you know, it is a notoriously difficult track to overtake at. I mean, 2021 season showed that even, you know, Lewis struggled to get past Alonso.
Yeah. Vettel couldn't really get near Ocon.
Yep. And, you know, even going back, we had, I think, 2018, we had the Mercs chasing down the Ferraris.
Yeah.
Lewis and Valtteri swapped positions.
Was it last year where Max spun still, yeah, like, won the race?
He spun and
was that the year before, one or the other? But it was outrageous.
It was probably last year when the car was a bit of a weapon.
It was, but, yeah, but it was a weapon the year before. To be fair,
it's one of those tracks where qualifying is normally a little bit more exciting because track position is kind of important.
Yeah, it's one of those alongside, I'm not saying Monaco because you have more chance of overtaking, but the Saturdays mean a bit more.
Yeah. And that being said, I think it's a great track. It's a really fun, watching it is really fun because of sort of like, you know, it's always referred to as like a go-kart track.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lot of tight corners, especially like through that middle sector. There's not really many like long straights. I mean, you've got the pit straight, and then you've got the second straight, which would be in sector one leading into the left-hander. Everywhere else, it's extremely difficult to overtake.
Was it turn one, to, is it turn three down into the wind? Is a great. We've seen some great overtaking over the years
around the hairpin, basically. Left hairpin, then down into the right onto the straight. As you come up the hill, and that's where you can overtake.
Was this the track, Multi 21, Webber and Vettel? I'm
just trying to picture the.
I'm not sure I've got that right, but I've obviously we've seen some great overtakes. I don't think I've got that right. Always having a party out there. Let me have a look. Malaysian Grand Prix. I was way off.
But I mean, I'm generally excited for this, primarily coming off the back of last week. Look, so to be honest, coming off the back of the last few weekends, what we're starting to see is the field sort of neutralising at the front, where it's not just Max is turning up and dominating.
No.
You know, I know, granted, he's out of the last few races, he's still won the most. But that's him making the difference and, you know, on his day turning up. We know, factually, at this point in time, McLaren have the quickest car.
Yeah.
Overall, shall we say.
Mm.
We know that Max Verstappen is realistically the quickest driver on the grid at this point in time. We know that Lewis Hamilton and George Russell, we can't discredit George. Things could have been different had he have... I still think Lewis would have won in Silverstone because I think he was quicker, but George Russell was quick all weekend in Silverstone. They're well in the mixer now. The Mercedes has actually been very good through slow speed corners.
Yeah.
It could benefit them round a track like Hungary.
I think what you said in the past, diminishing returns.
The law of diminishing returns.
We're now seeing that. We're now seeing Red Bull not necessarily peak, but the upgrades aren't as extensive as what they were maybe earlier.
And this is the thing, a lot of people are talking about their upgrades being unsuccessful. I don't think they are. I just don't think it's not physically possible for them to be able to find 2-3 tenths in an upgrade now, because the cars, there is a ceiling on these cars where they're going to get so quick, and then you can only chip off tiny bits of time. And if you've got a team like McLaren, who made absolute leaps and bounds in pretty much one upgrade, and I'm going back to last season when it happened, that one upgrade has shaped everything for them. And that must have given them about a second, that upgrade. That just wouldn't be possible for a team like Red Bull.
And isn't it mad when you're talking about McLaren? And I thought about this the other day, is that McLaren for many, many years were the dominant team. You know, the Hakkinen era, you know, the Ayrton Senna, you know, all those type of years.
Lewis Hamilton.
You know, so to see a team of that history coming back is great for the sport, because for many years they've struggled. You look at when Alonso was there, they didn't really do anything, did they? You know, they've struggled for many years. So to actually turn this around now and see that they're actually coming back and being more dominant is great.
It's been a long, long process for them. But they've cracked it. You know, they've cracked the new regulations, and it's also looking that Mercedes have now kind of got them under wraps as well.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think we'd be saying that Ferrari are one of the front-running teams that actually still haven't got it under control after, especially how they started 2022, and then they were the only other team to get a race win last season, and then also how they started this season.
Yeah.
You know, the car was really good, but they've brought upgrades and they've brought porpoising back, or bouncing, whether it's porpoising or bouncing, because apparently they're two different things. I don't know, but you know, Mercedes and McLaren have closed the gap on Red Bull. And it's going to make this weekend exciting, I think.
I agree. So before we get on to, you know, talking about predictions and the race, let's talk about a bit of news. So Haas have confirmed plans has have announced that they have extended their technical partnership with Ferrari until the end of the F1 2028 season. There was reports, and I don't know if you saw this, they were heavily linked to Toyota.
Yeah, this is how I was going to mention that.
Which, obviously, do you know when Toyota last competed in F1?
I actually do, because they were bought by Ross Brawn, were they not, for £1? So it would have been
2008.
2009. How?
2008 was when Lewis Hamilton won his first title, wasn't it?
Yeah, and yeah. Then Jenson Button won in 2009.
Yeah, so 2000... Well, so, all it says here, Toyota were considering joining forces with Toyota. Ah, because BAR still used the... Didn't they use the Toyota engine in 2009?
Who are we talking about? You're talking about...
When Brawn...
Yeah.
Did they use a Toyota engine?
I actually could not tell you what engine they used.
Because I'm reading this, and so report...
should I see what engine they used?
We're considering joining forces with Toyota, the Japanese manufacturer who last competed in F1 in 2009. That's what I've got here. That's what I've got in front of me. However, Haas have announced on Tuesday that the team will continue to work with Ferrari after the major F1 2026 regulations. Komatsu, team principal, said, "I'm thrilled to extend our relationship with Ferrari until 2028.
Panasonic Toyota Racing.
Yeah, that's what they used to be calling them.
Yeah, but they participated in the 2009. Why can I not remember that?
I thought
Brawn had a Mercedes powered engine, by the way.
Did they?
Which would make sense because Mercedes then went on to purchase them.
That would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, I'm we are fucking idiots. They bought Honda, not Toyota. Brawn.
Yeah.
But both Japanese.
Yes.
So.
But you are correct. We're fucking idiots.
Yeah, we are.
What's your thoughts on that? Is that a good move for Haas? Obviously, Haas have made strides this year. They've been with Ferrari for a while now. I would have quite liked to see Toyota back in the mix.
It's so there are two ways to look at it. If Haas could have done some sort of partnership where Toyota were more heavily involved and it became like a 50-50 thing,
yep,
or whatever the split was, I think that could have been quite fruitful for them.
Yeah.
Haas are one of those teams that typically have less investment. They haven't... Like, it would help their facilities. We know that... they've had issues in the past, particularly with developing decent cars. Mm. And there's only so much you can rely on the teams that you have partnerships with. I think that one, to me, sounds more interesting. I would have liked to have seen Toyota back in the sport with Haas.
Yeah.
Whether that was a full takeover or a partnership where it's not like, you know, like we see these partnerships across the grid, Red Bull and the RBs, Mercedes and McLaren and Aston Martin. But like I say, because Haas are a team that don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the same amount of money as a McLaren or an Aston Martin, they're sort of kind of just left with hand-me-downs.
I always find it quite weird because in F1, you have 10 teams, okay? In those 10 teams, you would have thought there's enough people in the world who would want to invest a good, decent amount of money into each team, especially with the cost cap, with everything that is going on. I understand sponsors and other teams are bigger, they have more money in that. But for teams like Haas and Williams and all of that, especially Williams, you would have thought investment-wise...
Yeah, but it's such a gamble, isn't it? Because the cost cap, obviously, I don't believe the cost cap applies to infrastructure.
No.
So, for example, you could spend £1 billion building like a state-of-the-art factory and wind tunnel and stuff, but why are you going to invest that money in Haas?
Yeah, I get it.
Unless it's something that is like something that becomes your project, a personal...
But that's the thing, isn't it? If you had that money, you know, investing in something like Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull, they've already got the money. They've already got the people who want to invest.
Yeah, but as... I think most rich people or whatever will think the same way. If you're a company, you want to get in with the big teams.
Hmm.
You know, if I said, you've got a company, right, worth £100 million. And I said, a year, you make £100 million a year. And I said, for 10 mil, you can stick your name on a Haas. Or for 18 mil, you can stick it on a Mercedes.
Hmm.
You'd be like, I'll put it on the Mercedes because it's going to get a lot more airtime.
Yeah, yeah. No,
they're a lot bigger. They've got a lot more fans. And from a personal perspective, you know, how do they look at it? I guess most people on that level probably consider themselves winners. I don't want to be associated with a Haas. Let me invest in Mercedes. They're winners. Let me invest in Red Bull. Mm.
But if you, I just sometimes think if you have that type of money, a project like that, invested in, you know, the Williams, the history. If I had that type of money and I was kind of like, who do you want to go? And that's not the, I would be interested in going to a team like Williams, helping them.
You would be.
No, but this is what I mean. I'm just talking about my experience. But there's obviously multi-million pound, billionaires out there. But it's the same as like, you know, okay, investing in a football club. Some people invest in the most random football club and sometimes in like League One or League Two, and they're like multi-billionaire people.
But I think that also has to be a passion.
Yeah.
And I also think investing in a League Two club actually costs substantially less than investing in a Formula One team.
Oh, I get that.
You know, because, I mean, that's really, it's like the difference between investing in a League Two team and a Premier League team. Mm. You know, Formula One is the Premier League.
Yeah.
It's the Champions League.
But that's what I mean. Having that, you would expect, you would think that there's investors out there for each team who would be willing to throw money at it to make it into that winning, a competitive...
Yeah, I think this is probably us in our, like, because I know what you're saying, but I guess being naive to how much money
is
truly required to make a team like Haas operate like a team like Red Bull.
Yeah.
It's not only is it years of investment, it's probably billions.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I sometimes think like, you know, if you were like a multi-millionaire and stuff like that, or billionaire, that could be a phenomenal project to take that team. Because realistically, in our lifetime... The only teams that are ever going to be dominant are Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren, Ferrari.
I think Aston Martin.
Aston Martin maybe. But the team, I mean, Williams might get into that mid-table whatever.
Then would you have ever thought Renault were going to have 2 years where, you know, Alonso went and won those two back-to-back world championships? Is
completely get what you're saying.
I get your point, but that it's purely an infrastructure thing. The cost cap can be quite misleading because it's like, well, every team's got 150 whatever million pounds to spend,
but it's everything behind the scenes.
But that team has a factory and a wind tunnel worth £2 billion. That team is renting theirs off a fucking airfield in Plymouth, and their factory is someone's shed. Like, do you know what I mean? I know the extremes aren't that much, but that's essentially the difference. Yeah, they've got 150 million, but what tools have they got
to
build it?
Yeah, perhaps I'm just thinking.
If you've got a budget to build a house, right? You've got £1 million. If you pay the local handyman to build it, versus a state-of-the-art like property developer, you're gonna have two very different outcomes. You spent the same amount of money, but you've given the money in one scenario to someone less skilled, with less facilities available.
Yeah,
that's essentially the difference.
Hopefully you guys at home understand where I'm trying to come from before you slate me again.
No, I get your point. You're saying, and I think that's because you like F1. So you're thinking like, I can't believe there's not. It's like, I often think, why hasn't Bill Gates bought a football team? He's worth like $150 billion.
Well, I just find it strange because there's only 10 teams in there.
Yeah,
I can understand if there was like 20, 30 teams, whatever. But there's 10 of the best teams in F1. That is it. 10 teams.
You've also got to think, does someone like Gene Haas want to part with whatever he owns?
Yeah.
I'm sure he probably owns nearly 100%. But. And the same with Williams. Does Lawrence... I mean, Lawrence Stroll has a lot of money and Aston Martin have a lot of investment. But say they were like a Haas.
Yeah.
Would Lawrence Stroll want to part with whatever percentage he owns? You know, it's also a pride thing from that perspective.
Yeah, and obviously we've got Audi coming in, so it's a different type. But yeah, no, anyway, I went off on a bit of a tangent there. But other news, Esteban Ocon has reportedly signed for Haas for the F1 2025 season, meaning K-Mag would have to make way for his current seat next year.
I mean, that's a move that makes sense, in my opinion.
We've discussed it. We think... Obviously, him leaving Alpine was a shock in the sense of how quick and how soon after your cramp,
yeah,
or how soon after Monaco it was announced. But I think it makes sense. Ollie Bearman has obviously taken the other seat. K-Mag isn't picking up those points. Hülkenberg is pushing that team forward, and I do truly believe that Hülkenberg will be a big loss for Haas next year. Do I think Ocon can come and do what Hülkenberg has been doing? It'd be interesting to see.
I don't think he can. But I think he's a step up from Magnussen.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I think Hülkenberg is incredibly underrated.
Yeah, I am with you. I was always... when And I'm guilty in it. When they signed him, I was a bit like, this is just a weird move. I was like, why would you want to bring Hülkenberg back? But actually, he's come back and he's done a phenomenal job. He really has. I know K-Mag, when he came back, he got brought back in, didn't he, to replace
Mazepin.
He did a very good job. But actually, I think he showed that he was in a good job because he was against Mick Schumacher.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's all comparative, yeah, isn't it?
So if that is the case, then Ocon and Ollie Bearman will be in that seat for next year. I'm interested to see how Ollie Bearman will do. I mean,
everyone knows my thoughts on that.
Everyone knows your thoughts.
Not through lack of belief. I just think, to me, he hasn't shown yet in F2 that he deserves that seat in F1.
Yeah.
That being said, I'll be rooting for him, fellow Brit. I'll be hoping that he does well. Do I think he will do well? I don't think he'll be awful. I don't think I'll be surprised if he beats Ocon.
But what? Okay, answer me this then. First season, what is his goals? If you're sitting down.
Well, obviously it depends on the car, right?
Yeah.
But let's assume we have the power of hindsight and they have a car that is the same standard as this car that they're in this season, right? Based off Hülkenberg's performance this season and the fact that K-Mag is likely going to lose his seat because he hasn't been scoring points, I would expect him to be scoring inconsistent points.
Okay.
Is if he gets halfway through the season and he hasn't scored a point, I think that says a lot about the move.
Is he expected to beat Ocon?
No. I don't think he should be expected to. Like I said, I don't think he will. He's clearly a longer-term prospect.
Yep.
It's just, can someone like Haas afford to do that?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what will happen with it. I think it's going to be...
I know also he did have a good weekend at Silverstone. But, yeah, I'm not sure he would have been my selection, basically. But Ocon, I think, makes sense. I think it's a step up from Magnussen. And it doesn't sound like a bad partnership to me, Oli Behrmann and Ocon. It's just not the partnership I would have gone for.
Who would you have gone for?
It's interesting. I don't really know, if I'm honest. And I think that's probably why it's Oli Behrmann.
Yeah.
Because how do you... As Haas, it's going to be very hard to lure any of the drivers away. A lot of the other drivers in F2 that are performing well have affiliations with other teams already.
I think Behrmann makes sense because of the Ferrari link.
Yeah.
You know, he's a junior driver for Ferrari. Going to Haas, getting that experience. I do believe if Oli Behrmann does well at Haas, he will be the next Ferrari driver replacing potentially Lewis. Yeah. When Lewis retires.
He would have to perform exceptionally well.
No doubt. I just think that is their plan. That would be the plan long term, wouldn't it? Other discussion, Sergio Perez, we discussed last week. Two races left before the summer break. There's been hinted that actually he has a contract that he should be 100 points. He should be nowhere near, not over 100 points behind Verstappen. And he should be no five places greater in the championship. He's like 135 points behind Verstappen. And he's already five places behind Verstappen. So
I can simplify this, right?
Yep.
Is Sergio Perez there after the summer break? Yes or no?
If he has two good races this weekend.
This weekend?
And this weekend and next weekend, yes. If he has two shockers again, like he has done the last few races, no.
What if he has one good, one bad?
I think it depends what you mean by good.
What if he gets P2 and then P14?
Then he's gone.
P1 and P14?
Well, that ain't happening. If he got P1 and he won a race, I think he would stay.
Yeah, I will say I think either way he's gone, personally.
I mean, he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And I don't know if Red Bull will do what Red Bull do and by just swapping them, by dropping him to RB and bringing in someone like Tsunoda or...
No, he'll go. If that happens, he'll go. I think if I had to put money on it, this is what I expect to happen. Sergio Perez is gone. Danny Ric gets the Red Bull seat.
This makes no sense. This triggers me beyond belief.
I'm not saying this is the sensible thing to do or what I would do. This is what is going to happen, I think. Danny Ric will get that seat for at least the rest of the year. Liam Lawson will come into RB. Then Red Bull will make a decision at the end of the year whether they go for Yuki, Liam, or Danny Ric. But then I do think all three of those drivers will be racing next year. It might just be that Danny Ric comes back down.
For me, this whole Danny Ric hype train is just, it's cringeworthy. I know they were at Goodwood this weekend, weren't they?
Yeah. You see Christian Horner squeeze into a race suit.
Yeah.
It looked like someone had put a race suit on a fridge.
Harsh.
It's not harsh. It's an accurate representation of what the picture looked like.
What type of fridge?
A really big one.
Nice. What makes sense to me is Perez leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Tsunoda is given the opportunity.
Tsunoda is who should be given
he
the
should
opportunity.
Be he should be. It's a perfect opportunity to show, to see how far he's come and actually how good he is in that Red Bull seat.
I actually read something earlier today about Liam Lawson's times.
Oh, didn't he test at Silverstone last week?
Yeah, and apparently they were disappointing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was, I believe, I can't find the tweet, 0.2 down on what was like the benchmark time.
Okay, interesting.
Now, obviously, it's difficult to say, do you know what I mean? If he's had one day out on track driving around. These drivers need experience, and that's why, you know, would he be 0.2 down, if this is true, would he be 0.2 down if he had been racing in the RB all season? Because he had actually been given the seat.
But also, I think he did enough last year to show what he can do in F1.
Yep, I think that's true.
I think, you know, I agree with you in the sense of Ollie Bearman, he's done one race. Does he deserve a seat in F1? Well, we don't really know because he's only done one race. However, Liam Lawson out-qualified even Max Verstappen at Singapore last year.
Yeah, true.
He did enough, I think, during those, was it 7 races he did or something?
That wasn't that many.
5. It was at least 5 races. Well, he did enough within those races, I think, to warrant a seat.
He did.
So what makes sense to me, get rid of Perez, put Tsunoda in that seat. I think it'd be harsh to put Lawson in that Red Bull seat ahead of Tsunoda.
That would be completely unfair.
So Tsunoda in that seat, see what Tsunoda can do, because I think he's earned that opportunity. Danny Ric, Lawson in the RB seat, because Danny Ric, well, again, it'd be an insult to Tsunoda. Tsunoda outperformed Ricciardo last year. Granted, Ricciardo had the injury, and yeah, get that. But he's outperformed Ricciardo this year.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at those three drivers, the only person who deserves that seat is Tsunoda. And I think it would be a real insult to go, oh, we're going to give Danny Ric. You're giving it to Danny Ric because he's your mate. That's ultimately what it is, in a personality.
And it's whether or not they're still looking at, and look, don't get me wrong, Yuki Tsunoda is great. He won't get close to Max.
No.
But is it that they're thinking there's more risk that Yuki could get close to Max, or there's more risk of an explosive relationship?
I think they need to get away from
Yuki's
that.
Quite fiery.
Yeah. He's got better, to be fair to him.
Yeah, but he's not Danny Ric chill. And I know Danny Ric was driven out of Red Bull because of Max. But I feel like Danny Ric is probably at one with his ego now. He's a lot older. If you're him, there's no point comparing yourself to someone like Max. I think he'll know that at this age. And that's why I think they could be doing it. That's why I think they like someone like Perez.
He's a yes man, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's not going to ruffle any feathers. He's not quick enough to get near Max. But at this point, he's not quick enough to be anywhere near Max. And they need a driver that is able to get near him.
Well, they'll lose the constructors.
Well, yeah, they will. And that's why they have to get rid of him. Or they will lose the constructors to McLaren. 100%.
I just think they've got to make a decision soon. And I do agree it would probably be likely over the summer break.
Yeah.
Also, we don't know what's happening with Sainz at the moment. We don't know what's happened with the other Mercedes.
Apparently, Sainz is back in contention for that Mercedes.
Yeah, I read that. I don't understand why, though, because Antonelli was the main talking point, surely, wasn't he?
Well, Antonelli, I assume, was the reason Lewis didn't get a 3-year deal.
Well, yeah. So, if you're Carlos
Which
Sainz...
Which is what he has got a Mercedes. Ferrari.
Yeah. If you're Carlos Sainz, though, you want a long-term deal, don't you? Because you want to cement yourself in a team for a long period. You don't want to just be that guy who jumps from seat to seat.
You want a team to believe in you and want you as part of a long-term project.
That's why I think Williams is a perfect place for him, because it's a long-term project.
It is, but it's... No disrespect, it's like...
It's no Mercedes. It's
no, it's like... It's like, oh, I left working at Google head office because Tesco appreciated me more.
Yeah.
You know, like stacking shelves. It's like, yeah, great, you're in the system, cool. But like, he's an ambitious driver. He wants to race at the highest level. He's never going to get that from Williams. He'll get to drive at Williams, yeah, maybe for years.
The issue is he's not going to go anywhere at the moment for long term. As we know, George Russell isn't going anywhere.
We could do. He could go to Alpine long term.
Okay,
but again,
are Alpine?
I would rather take the risk and go to Mercedes short term and prove to them that there's no way they can get rid of me.
Yeah, but that's like Ferrari. He didn't do anything really wrong at Ferrari, did he?
No, but when they had a car capable of winning, he bottled it quite a lot of times. In 2022.
2022? He was the only driver last year to win a race in Ferrari.
Yeah, but he's the only driver outside of Red Bull.
No, yeah. But that's what I mean. He was the only driver up until the last race of the season. He was beating Leclerc.
But realistically, are you taking Sainz over Leclerc?
No. But
so they had a choice, right? Okay, Lewis Hamilton is available. Who do we get rid of? Carlos Sainz or Charles Leclerc? Carlos Sainz was the obvious choice.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. You go to Mercedes.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, okay, we've got Kimi Antonelli,
which they're not going to want to lose out on.
Okay, but I'm saying he has to make himself not the obvious choice. He has to go in there and beat George.
I still don't think they would get rid of George over Sainz.
If Sainz heavily outperforms him, of course he would.
I don't know. I can't see it. I think they're...
Why?
For me...
They're not idiots.
No, for me, George Russell is like Charles Leclerc for Ferrari.
Yeah,
they're heavily invested in George Russell.
But Charles Leclerc over the last, let's say, two full seasons has outperformed Carlos Sainz. They were very close to each other in 2021.
Carlos Sainz outperformed Leclerc.
I'm talking about points scored, race wins, pole positions.
Okay, well, race wins.
Podiums.
2022, okay, take aside. But the last two seasons, Charles Leclerc... was outperformed by...
How?
But Sainz won more races last year.
Okay, this year?
They're what? One apiece? Sainz won in Melbourne. Leclerc won in Monaco.
Yeah. But then you're going to... How can you randomly get rid of 2022? Why is that not part of the question?
Well, no, you go back years and years then, won't you? You just go... What I'm saying is couple of seasons...
In this new generation...
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc, when Ferrari had a car that was capable of actually taking it to a title fight, it was Charles Leclerc that stepped up and did that.
Apart from being in France and screwing his own races, yeah. He was the better driver, granted.
Yeah, but Carlos wasn't even in the position to be able to screw his own races.
No. No.
He was never in contention for the win.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
He won one race that season, yeah. And that was Silverstone. But he only won it because of a safety car and they screwed Charles Leclerc's race over.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. If you're picking which driver to get rid of, Sainz is the one. But I do think Mercedes is the same position that actually, if you're picking over George or Sainz, and Kimi Antonelli goes, for example, next year goes, oh, I'm ready, you want to step up. Actually, if you don't pick me, I'm going to go somewhere else. They will get rid of Sainz.
I don't believe that's true. I believe if, firstly, Sainz is outperforming George, they will look at it rationally. I think also, say 2025 Mercedes, 2026 Mercedes have a title winning car, right?
Yeah.
He's got a 2-year deal with them because I don't think he'd sign any less. I think they'd have to accept that Antonelli's not going to be in the sport driving Mercedes for 2 years if they want signs. 2026, they've got a title winning car and George and Carlos go at it like Lewis and Nico Rosberg. 2027, neither of them are going anywhere. So, say they have a title battle that comes down to the final race. You think they're then going to get rid of one of them to bring in Kimi Antonelli? It's not going to happen. And, and this is what I mean. It's in his hands, I believe. I would truly go to Mercedes. If I believed in myself, I would go to Mercedes and be like, I will prove to you that, like, you need me.
I truly believe that Carlos Sainz going to Mercedes or whatever, neither one of those, Mercedes will not be winning championships. I don't believe in either of those two drivers to win a championship. I believe in them to win races, but if you, I don't believe in them to win the championship.
Okay, if you have a car as dominant as the RB19.
Yep.
Or the W14.
Yeah.
You know, so 2014. Because we're going into new regs, that could happen. One of them will win a championship.
I don't believe it. I don't see it. I think George Russell...
Bahrain 2014.
Yep.
Mercedes had a car that was 1 second a lap quicker than the rest of the grid.
Yep.
One of them drivers would win the title in a car that dominant. There's no question about it.
I just can't see either of them
win. Do I think they'd win a battle against Max Verstappen in a car that was there or thereabouts? No. But if they were in a dominant car, mate, I'm not being funny, Jenson Button won a championship.
Yeah.
Because he had a dominant car.
Oh,
George Russell.
If you're talking
George Russell and Carlos Sainz,
in my opinion, are
both better than Jenson Button.
It's different.
There's a reason they've both had a move to a top team in the early stages of their career.
Yeah.
You know, they're still both young. I know Jenson Button won that title. But, you know, look at when he was up against Lewis in the McLaren. It was Lewis who was pushing that car in the title battles.
Yeah, but that's a tough one because Lewis was basically dominant against every teammate.
No, I know. But Lewis hasn't been totally dominant against George Russell. No. And I know Lewis is getting older, but I think it's not an unfair assessment to say Carlos Sainz and George Russell are better than what Jenson Button was.
Yeah.
If Jenson Button never got that, the double diffuser from the Brawn.
Yeah.
And I don't get me wrong, I know it's about the car and everything, but as soon as that field was neutralised, He wasn't winning races.
Who'd your money be on then if they were teammates to win a championship? Sainz or Russell? And who would you want to win?
I would want George to win. I think Sainz has a bit more composure.
George Russell, I feel...
George gets very flustered. And I feel like Sainz Singapore win.
Yeah.
And Melbourne showed that actually he has overcome the sort of mishaps of 2022.
Yeah. My money would be on Sainz. I think George would be lose his head.
I think
Singapore last year was a classic example.
I think Russell is quicker. But I think Sainz has got the temperament to be able to win a championship over
George
him.
Will screw his own race.
Yeah.
Once the pressure gets to him, he will screw his own race. But anyway, we'll see. For me, is that the right move? Sainz going to Mercedes? Yes, I think he deserves a top team. But it depends on how they value him. I think if you're not willing to give Lewis Hamilton what he wants, that's a real eye-opener.
Sainz is a lot younger.
He is, granted.
Okay, all he's got to do is come and improve himself. Yeah. I would take the role there. You know, you're a nurse, right? Say you got offered a top job, a top big private hospital, right? They're like, we're going to pay you £100,000 a year. But you're on a year's contract. Now, there's a chance for that to be extended. Or the NHS have offered you a job. £35,000 a year. But it's the NHS. Chance are you could work there for the rest of your life. What are you going to take? Are you going to take the risk and take the 1 year contract? Knowing that it's a better job, better long-term prospects.
I see where you're going with this.
And that to me is the difference.
The difference is living on £100,000 or living on the millions that they will get as an F1 driver.
No, but okay, even forget about the money. It's more of a pride thing.
Yeah.
You know, if this is like the top job, right? Say in your career, this is the one everyone wanted. Everyone knows this private hospital is prestigious. Only the best work there.
Mm.
Now we know the NHS. Everyone works there because that's the system. It's that difference, and that's why I'd be like, I'm going to Mercedes, and I'm going to prove to them that I am the right man for that job. And Carlos Sainz is someone who is capable of that.
Yeah, no, I don't agree. Where does Antonelli fit into this then? That's the interesting thing. Yeah, because they've missed out on drivers in the past.
Yeah, but what has Antonelli done? What has Antonelli done for them?
No, I agree. But there must be something in this guy that Mercedes...
Well, I think it's arguably just Max Verstappen syndrome.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The best drivers tend to dominate the Formula Series.
Yeah. We'll see.
History has shown that.
We'll see. Let us know anyway. Budapest. Want to talk about it?
Yes.
How's your voice?
Hurting.
Is it?
Mm.
We have gone on a bit longer. I know you said you wanted a short episode, so I'll be quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this weekend, so FP1, 12:30 to 1:30. FP2 on Friday, 4 till 5. Practice on Saturday is 11:30 till 12:30. Qualifying is 3 till 4. And the race is 2 p.m. Quite nice.
Very nice.
Circuit-wise, so when was the first Grand Prix held?
It's funny because this will be the third time that you've asked me this. And I still just don't remember, but I'm going to say 1972.
1986. Number of laps.
Ooh.
Seventy. And lap record and held by who?
Lap record held by Lewis Hamilton.
Yes. In what year?
I know what it was. It was a
117.3. 116.2. Close. DRS zones.
actually think there's just one.
There is. However, you've got one down the main straight, and then down from one to two, yeah. you get it again. So there's only one detection zone.
Yeah.
So this is the one that confused us last year. So we're like, why is that? Where did you get that from?
Yeah, yeah.
Your prediction for this weekend's Hungarian Grand Prix?
Lewis George Lando.
Lewis George Lando.
I think the Mercedes has really shown this season its strength in slow speed corners.
Yeah.
And you know, it was incredibly quick at Silverstone. It might sound mad not putting Max in there. I think it kind of threw me off that the car was actually really not very good at Silverstone. Mm. So it's a bold prediction, but that's what I'm going to go for.
I'm going to go Lando, Lewis, Piastri.
You don't think McLaren will screw his race again?
Well, I'm hoping they don't, because I like Piastri. I'm expecting McLaren still to be strong here. Obviously, they were strong. The issue is with McLaren, it is Lando Norris. And, you know, I know you think I'm a Lando hater, but there I am putting in P1, okay?
But you're still a hater.
He's got to start making these count now, these weekends. Because there's not going to be many weekends like this where McLaren are always going to be the dominant car. So he's got to start making those counts.
I mean, he's already missed his chance, I think, to win the title. I think he needed to win Silverstone.
Yeah.
And he needed to win Austria.
Yeah.
I think it's too far gone now.
Oh, I never really thought he would win it. I never once thought to myself, okay, Lando's in contention here. Because... No, I think Max will always pick up those.
I never thought he was going to do it. I just think he still had a chance to do it.
Yeah.
I feel like that is gone.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. Piastri just needs a solid weekend. Piastri is only a matter of time until he gets the race win.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. Yeah. I think he just needs to take it to the next level, and McLaren just needs to stop screwing them over. I think it's a matter of time. Let us know, get in touch, what do you think, who's your top three. Anything else?
Enjoy the race.
What race?
This weekend.
Where are you watching it?
Well, here, but I'm meant to be going to a party, a birthday party on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, nice.
We got friendly at the Downs at 11.
Have you? Oh, is it football now, isn't it?
Yeah, pre-season. And then, yeah, I'm meant to be going to a party, so
enjoy.
I might have to watch it back.
Enjoy. Right, have a good week. Hope you enjoy the race this weekend. And we'll be back next week for our final episode before the summer break. Mm-hmm. And then I am heading off to Spa, so I'm quite excited about it. Yeah, so nice. Have a good week and take it easy. Bye-bye.